Welcome to the Navy SEAL Mindset. I am your host, William Branham, and this is episode 021. This episode of the podcast is going to be a little bit different. This episode is going to be a continuation of a podcast that I did with Nick Koumoulatis on the Always Forward podcast. It's almost 2 hours of us talking about my time in the military, my transition out of the military. I think we probably talked about at least one or two of the hikes of the Grand Canyon I did in 2023, where we saved several people's lives. We saved a kid's life, a young man's life the first time I did it, and then we saved three women's lives the second time I did it. And I think I've talked about that on previous podcasts. And we also talk about what I do with the Modern Day Knight Project and how I am the most loved. Nick likes to say I'm the most hated, but I am the most loved instructor at the Modern Day Knight Project. If you are a man and you are interested in the Modern Day Knight Project, please reach out to me. You can reach out to me at william@nw-recovery.com and just write project or MDK in the subject line and your phone number, and I will get back to you. So anyway, it is an expensive program. It's $18,000, but sometimes I give scholarships to men who I believe deserve it, who may have some financial hardships, but I believe that they will get a tremendous amount out of the program. So anyway, without further ado, here is the Always Forward podcast with myself and Nick Koumoulatis. Enjoy the show. Talk soon.
Well, I'm just going to start this thing off. 26-year Navy SEAL, way better than Ray Cashcares from what I hear, right? That's the word on
Ray,
the street.
Man. Ray was in my first SEAL platoon.
Was he really?
He was my sea daddy back in the day.
How was he back then? The same?
He was exactly the same. Exactly. Like, who you see now is exactly the same person that he was back then. 100%.
That's just perfect. Love you, Ray. Hope you're doing well. He called me while I was in a meeting, and I immediately hit deny. I said, no.
Can't talk to you right now.
I got to say, Ray's podcast is up there, right? He's one of the top podcasts, Mario?
Maybe. I don't listen to other Navy SEALs. I just listen to Will.
Yeah.
Because Will's in the room.
Yeah.
So before we get into you being called the most hated project instructor ever.
I think is the right word.
I'm not sure if loved is what they're going with. But before we get into that, because dude, do I want to unpack some shit that just happened this past week or since the last class anyway. Steve did us good. Steve did us really good with that rope. What was it? I'm working on the rail.
Yeah, oh my God, dude, that was hysterical.
That was great, man.
It was perfect.
Great. He did. Steve isn't even good at social media, and that was a fucking ringer, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, before we did that, you're 26 years in the SEAL teams.
Yep.
That's a long fucking time, dude.
It's actually a little bit of a white lie.
Okay.
I spent 26 years in the Navy. 23 of those was SEAL teams. Right. Yeah. I made a tactical error when I joined the Navy.
Yeah.
And I went and took went to boot camp. I went to be a Navy SEAL. Even though no one knew what the fuck a Navy SEAL was back then. Yeah. There was no internets back in the day.
Oh. Had Charlie Sheen done his thing already?
I'm not sure. Definitely by the time I got to the SEAL teams, they made
that
movie.
Was a thing.
But there was nothing really else out there. No books. I think maybe Rogue Warrior was out there. Mm-hmm. Marcinko. But I learned about it in the Boy Scouts. I met a kid. He was a good swimmer. I was going to this national jamboree. I was poor as fuck growing up. Like dirt poor, like free lunches, kind of poor. But I was heavily involved in the Boy Scouts. I was an Eagle Scout, all that good stuff. And I went to the National Jamboree, and I met a kid. He was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go to the Naval Academy. I want to fly F-14 Tomcats. I want to be a Navy SEAL." I'm like, "I want to do all that. What's a Navy SEAL?" And he explained it to me, and I was like, "Fuck yeah, that's what I want to do." Although I didn't really want to join the Navy, because they have those big gray things that float out there in the ocean. No one
doesn't
wants
sound
to
so like fun.
It. No, yeah. Not at all. My dad was in the Navy. My grandfather was. Everyone was in the Navy. I'm like, I'm not gonna be in the Navy.
I know. I heard what you guys do on the ship.
Yeah, fuck that. And so the Navy recruiter called me after I got back from this national jamboree, and he was like, "Hey man, you ever thought about joining the Navy?" And I was like, "Fuck. Well, I want to be a Navy SEAL. and I want to go to the Naval Academy, and I want to fly up 14 Tomcats, like Top Gun. He's like, well, why don't you come on down here? And
sure, kid.
Here you go. I got just the thing for you. He showed me this really cheesy SEAL recruiting video, and I'm like, fuck yeah, where do I sign?
Was that public, or was it an internal video?
It was, man, it was so bad. It was bad. Like, it was really cheesy, like cheesy GCI explosions, and yeah, like they weren't wearing camouflage, they were wearing like wetsuits.
Was it like an 80s action movie kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah,
awesome.
Like all M16, A2, A1 rifles. Yeah, it was very bad. Cool. Yeah, I mean, it was early 90s. Like,
yeah, 91, right, of course.
So,
dude, I joined from a guy fighting a dragon.
I was like, maybe I want to be a Marine. Yeah, they were fucking fighting dragons with swords.
I'm like, dragon swords? I'm like, fucking sign me up, bro.
That's what I want. Yeah. And I probably would have had, I probably would have been a Marine Corps scout, sniper, recon, whatever.
Can we just appreciate our time of recruiting videos versus today?
Oh, yeah.
How amazing were those videos?
Yeah, they were awesome. I would join the Marine Corps right now.
Compared to like...
with those videos or with those...
I don't even know what to call our recruiting videos now.
I don't see them. I don't watch TV. I don't think I can bring myself to do it.
No, man. It would break your heart. It would break your heart. You'd be more angry.
Yeah. I'm a nice guy, though.
Yeah, you are a nice guy. Anyways, so you joined the Navy, and then what happened?
So I went to boot camp. I took the screening test, and I was focusing on, like, the minimum number, minimum standard. And it took me a long time to, like, figure out, why did I fucking fail the test? Well, I was looking at the minimum number of push-ups, pull-ups, and sit-ups. It's a 500-yard swim. I'm an okay swimmer. I hate swimming, by the way.
Most Navy SEALs don't like the water.
It's amazing. Like, I tell people that, and they're like, are you fucking kidding me? You picked the wrong... I'm like, yeah, I loved it until I got the muds, and then they beat it out of me. It was like 52 push-ups, 60 sit-ups, 7 pull-ups, and a mile and a half run in pants and boots.
Yeah.
And I think I got to, like, number 37 in push-ups, and I couldn't do any more because I was focused on the minimum standard.
Yeah.
I wasn't focused on, like, destroy the fucking standard.
Right.
That was a different mindset. Like, I had a lot of growing up.
How old at the time?
Like 18 years old.
Yeah, you don't know.
Like, I didn't know. I'm like, fuck, I'm from...
Unless you're told or taught.
Backwoods Mississippi nowhere land. Like, I don't know any better.
Unless you're taught, you don't...
Yeah.
You don't know.
Like, it wasn't built into me. I had, like, a mediocre mindset. I'm like, well, I'll be happy if I make $20,000 a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fuck. So many men. It breaks my heart. Anyways,
it's true. But you gotta learn it. You gotta surround yourself by the fucking people that are gonna instill those things.
Exactly.
They're gonna hold you, raise you to a higher standard. And I think I started learning that in SEAL training.
So what did you do before? What did you get stuck doing?
Okay. So I ended up, so the way the Navy works, it's a little different now, but the way it worked back then is you had to have a Navy job.
Yeah.
So I was a gunner's mate. My dad wanted me to do electronics. He's like, that's the future. I'm like, okay, check. So I picked a Navy job that had to do with electronics, pneumatics, and hydraulics. And so that was gunner's mate, so that could, you know, have a skill when I got out or whatever. And then I went to that school. It was 6 months long. I learned all the electronic stuff. I learned that I had I thought it was a dumb kid. It turns out, you know, I found out much later in life that I have ADHD and, you know, whatever.
Who doesn't?
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I just thought I was dumb. And I graduated. Yeah,
what high performer doesn't have some sort of
ADHD? Place.
You know what I mean?
And I walked into these like study groups, and I was, you know, I was high enough in the class when the class ended to go to another school. And I was like, okay, so 6 months, I've been in pretty good shape. I could go past it. I know I can, like, destroy the screening test right now. But I'm going to go take this other school for 4 more months in Virginia Beach. I was also lazy. That's the other thing. I was lazy as a kid, even in the Navy. Like, I didn't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning in fucking the wintertime of Waukegan, north of Chicago, Illinois, and go take the fucking screening test. Like, it fucking sucks outside. It's cold. It's miserable. It's dark. It's
scary.
The sun's
not even up. Why should I be up?
No, it's not going to be up for like 6 more hours. And so I was like, I'll just do it later. Yeah. I was lazy. Looking back on it, I can admit that. I'm brave enough to fucking admit my mistakes.
Dude, I've done so many on this podcast alone.
Right. And And so I'm like, I'll do it when I get to Virginia Beach. And so I go to that school for a couple months. And I'm like, hey, instructors, I want to take the SEAL screening test because I want to go to BUDS after this. And they were like, okay. So they looked into it and they're like, yeah, you're not going. Because I took those orders to that school in Virginia Beach. I owed the Navy 24 months of obligated service to a ship in Yokosuka, Japan.
Oh, cool.
So so I'm like, fuck. Well,
Super fun.
What if I fail out of this school? Like, I can just fucking bomb right now. They're like, you're still going to that ship in Yokosuka, Japan.
You're just going to be painting and cleaning.
Yeah. I'm going to go to that billet. And so I'm like, fuck. Okay. I'm not a quitter. I'm just going to go do it. And so I went and served my time on the ship. I did everything I needed to do. I was still very focused on...
What year was this?
I joined the Navy in 92, so 93, 94.
Oh, wow.
So it was 13 months boot camp. Yeah, so I think I went out 93. I went lived on a ship for 2 years. When, you know, the way the Navy works is like when you're 9 months out from your rotation, you call your detailer and you say, hey, this is what I want to do next, and start that negotiation. Well, I called my detailer and said, hey, I'm just letting you know I'm going to put a package in to go to BUDS. I want to become a Navy SEAL. And he's like, that's great, but I'm not going to let you go. Well, why not? Well, that's because that school that you went to for 4 months over here, you're too critical to the Navy.
Oh, shit.
So I'm not going to release you. I'm like, well, I'll get out. He's like, fine, get out.
Cool.
Yeah, beat it. Beat it, Roach. I was like, but if I go to BUDS, I might not make it, and you got me back. He's like, no deal. And so I'm like, fuck, okay. So I, you know, I called the SEAL detailer. I'm like, hey, here's my package. Am I good to go? They're like, your detailer has to release you. I'm like, fuck. So I waited 3 more months. I called again, and then I'm trying to use logic. He's like, no, dude, you're too critical to the Navy. I'm like, but the reenlistment bonus for gunner's mate missiles for VLS technicians sucks. It's like $3,000, and the Navy SEAL reenlistment bonus is $20,000. How are you telling me that they're the same? Like, this is more critical. He's like, sorry, I'm not letting you go. Fuck. Okay, so I went and got letters of recommendation. I'm like, I got to find out how to get there. And then we got word that the chief of naval operations, Admiral Borda, at the time, was coming to our ship in Yokosuka, Japan. He didn't go to any other ship. He only came to our ship. And people are like, yeah, you know what? He's that guy that did the Seaman to Admiral program. He was an E1, mm-hmm. and now he's the head motherfucker in charge.
Yeah.
And so he came to the ship. He gave his vision of the Navy. He's like, this is what I think. Does anyone have any questions? I raised my hand. I was like, yeah. I was the second guy he called. He was like, I'm like, yeah, I joined the Navy to become a Navy SEAL. I think I deserve a chance to go. My detailer said, I'm too critical. He won't let me go. Damn. What do you think? He turns to my commanding officer and he was like, is he a good guy? He was like, yeah, he was a sailor of the quarter this quarter, like, you know, employee of the month or something. Because I did a good job sweeping or shining the fucking bright.
Got my picture right there.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. So he turns back to me. He's like, check, you'll be in the first class after your PRD. After that, the Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy came down. He's like, took my name and social. And he's like, I tried it. The easy part's done. It wasn't for me. Good luck. And I was like, fuck. So I called Washington, the SEAL detailer, that night. This was, again, before the internets.
Yeah.
Before Al Gore created the internet. And,
right.
And I'm like, hey, man, have you heard anything about my package? It's like, what's your name? Branham. Yeah. We mailed your orders out this morning. I was like, holy fuck. That was like 3 hours
you
ago.
You didn't catch any heat for this?
None. Zero.
Do you know what would happen if you tried that shit in the Marine Corps? Like, it might still work, but you would have been lit on fucking fire by everyone around you.
I let people know beforehand. I told my CO, prepped, I was like, hey, man,
zone.
Hey, I'm just so you know, I'm asking. Like, and people actually told me to ask. They're like, hey, man, you're, you know, this is a guy who's a common sense leader.
Yeah.
Like, people, you know, people that are overseas.
Dude,
like,
I had a common sense leader. I brought up some shit. And on John Berthenol's podcast, The Real Ones, I told him that story. Bro, they lit me on fucking fire. They crucified me. And I was still right, and it still worked.
Like, right.
I got what I wanted.
Yeah.
Still crucified. So good on you, dude.
But
there's a lesson there, because I tell people all the time, like, oh, they say no. I'm like, dude, here's the deal. It's your career.
Yeah.
What do you...
What's the worst they're going to say?
What do you want out of it?
They're going to say no.
It's not their career.
Right.
It's your career.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go after and get what you want, and you got to figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah, 100%.
So you did.
Yeah. And if that didn't work, I was like congressman, like president. I don't fucking know. I'm going to figure it out.
Right.
Again, you know, mediocre kid from Mississippi who I don't know the difference. Consequences. So what? What are you going to do to me?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you did it.
So eventually, I 6 weeks later, I'm off to California, started SEAL training, and it took me a short 13 months to get through that 6 month block of training because I got hurt, you know, a handful of times. I almost got kicked out after the second time I got hurt. I remember so you go before board. So the first guy was like, well, you clearly didn't prepare well enough before you got here. So I'd recommend you to be dropped from training. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Second guy, I go in there, I'm like on crutches, and he's like, well, so and so recommended you to be dropped from training. I still haven't forgiven that motherfucker. He was a CEO of SEAL Team 4. I know who he is. He was a SEAL team. He was a CEO at SEAL Team 4, and I still hated that motherfucker. I am still hold a grudge to this day, and I don't hold grudges.
You got to let it go, Will. You got to let it go.
I'm like, hopefully we get in a gunfight. So the second guy, I'm like fucking crying. I'm like, dude, I can't leave. If I leave, then
it's over.
I may not ever get a chance to come back. Yeah. And right after that, Admiral Board had killed himself.
Oh, shit.
And so I was like, I can't leave. And so he said, go stand outside. And he fucking left and he went to some meetings and he came back. Like, I'm like watching my class come in all wet and sandy. And all I want to do is be with those motherfuckers. I want to be
weird is that?
Gross and cold and fucking miserable. That's all I want right now.
How I'm weird. Like when you're there, you're like, God, I want this to end.
I had a blast while I was there. Yeah. I mean, it sucks. Like, don't get me wrong. Sucks. It fucking sucks. But I was like so fucking happy to be there. I was so happy. And then the guy comes back.
Like, it ain't a ship and it ain't Mississippi.
It ain't neither one of those. And like when we're running on the beach and they're like, some of you don't belong here. Some of you belong on that big gray thing out there in the old water. I'm like, not me. I did my time. Yeah, and actually, I think, you know, so I was.
How old were you when you started Buds?
I think I was 21.
A little bit better.
When I got there.
Big difference in 18 and 21.
Yeah.
In that. And people don't really understand that. But there's a level of maturity and understanding of like doing hard things and like gritting it out. Not making like permanent decisions off temporary pain.
Yeah.
That happens between 18 and early 20s.
Yeah. I was just happy to be there.
Yeah.
Like, this is a dream. Like, what do I do when it's done? I don't know. But worry about that when it gets a lot harder. Gets a lot harder. This is actually the fun part.
Right.
And so I was just like, you know, I'm like there in his office, like fucking tears, snot bubbles, the whole nine yards. And I'm like standing outside on my crutches. I watch my class come in and I'm like, I just want to be with those fucking dudes right there. Like, I started bonding with them and he comes back like 4 hours later. He's like, what are you doing here? I said, you told me to stand outside. Like, I'm fucking standing here till the fucking tomorrow. If I need to, I don't care.
This is my new home. this is where I live now.
He was like, oh, okay, well then go check in and you'll be go heal up and you'll be in the next class. So I'm like, check. So I went and checked into the holding facility, the holding group, and did all the rehab stuff. I still did not heal up. So the next, I was like, I'm on the fucking ropes right now. I got to just fucking put out, even though I'm still broken.
So what?
I made it all the way through first phase and through Hell Week broken.
So how did you, like, what was the lifestyle there when you're like basically in holding?
You work out twice a day.
Are they fucking with you or is it just kind of not really?
No, they're just kind of trying to build you up. So you're either broken in between classes or you're showing up and you're getting ready to class up into the first class.
Got it.
And because I hadn't made it through Hell Week yet, I was just, you know, guys were coming in and I would help them, you know, hey, you need to take your greens down to AB Brights. You need to do this. You need to do that, whatever. The small amount of information that I had. Here's how you do boats. Here's how you set things up. Then when we, you know, the first 2 weeks or the 2 weeks prior to first phase starting, they start doing more indoctrination stuff. Like here's like actually preparing you for first phase, like drown proofing where you're tied up and thrown in the water, swimming with fins, which is very different than swimming without fins, you know, sand runs, calisthenics on the beach, all that first phase stuff. And, so they're just preparing you for first phase so that hopefully they're the high quality person on the, like come out the backside of it. And I didn't heal up. I still got out there and I did all the things I needed to do, but I limped my way all the way through first phase.
Damn.
Like I made one 4 mile time run. Like I had to make one in under 32 minutes. And I remember the day that I did it. I don't know what happened in my mind. I just woke up that morning and I'm like, I woke up that morning at 5 a.m. I'm like, I'm going to go fucking crush this run. I'm still hobbling along.
And what was the actual injury?
I don't know. Like, so my left knee So it was the first run that I ever kept up on in Buds. I didn't get it, go in the goon squad, which is like extra attention, like extra work.
Yeah.
I kept up on the run, and I'm sitting there stretching out while the goon squad's going on. Goon squad's released. They come back to the class, and they're like, everyone, go hit the serve. And I stood up, and I fucking fell down. My left knee just stopped working. Like, it wouldn't fight. Like, it wouldn't hold any weight. I could stand on that leg. I couldn't hold any weight on it. They did MRIs. They did a bunch of tests. They're like, oh, we don't know what's wrong with you. You just need to suck it up. Okay, I'm going to suck it up. So that's really how I got through. And that, you know, I just, that one, I think it was a Monday or Tuesday.
Does it bother you now?
No. It actually stopped. A Thursday of Hell Week, it started working again. It's fucking weird as shit. Like, I'm like, what's wrong with my body? I have no idea. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, you know, I can keep up now.
I wonder if it was just, and I saw this a lot in young guys, and it happens a lot now, that if you're not really an active kid,
yeah,
coming through life, and I don't know if you played sports or did anything like that, but if you're not an active kid and all of a sudden you get thrown into a ton of activity and repetition for a long period of time in the military training, they just kind of like have these weird like crumbling.
It could, their body totally could have been.
Their body just can't really handle the volume.
Could have been. I mean, I had a broken ankle at one point, which was another funny story. Like, I rolled my ankle, and
on the sand?
In the sand.
Yeah.
And this was the first time I got rolled. And I showed up the next, like, Monday morning, and I'm like, I just don't have any power. Like, I don't have the power in my jumping, like doing the dirty name and stuff on the obstacle course. So I went to medical, and I remember she was a female EOD PA. And she was like, I think you're fine. You probably just need to suck it up, but we're going to send you for x-rays anyway. And so we went to get x-rays, and there's like an inch chunk of bone that was broken off from the bottom of my ankle, that bone that goes all like on the outside.
Yeah.
And she came back, and she was like, I'm sorry. She apologized. your ankle actually is broken, like very broken. And we're going to like roll you and put you in a cast. And it was an air cast. And after a couple weeks, I could do everything I needed to do.
Yeah.
I was still on crutches. I put this air splint thing in my boot, and I had a carbon fiber insert.
Oh, so you kept going.
I just kept going. I mean, I didn't going back, I'm like, shit, I wish I'd have just like gone through training like that. I would have been fine.
Yeah.
I would have been good enough.
But you took a pause.
They rolled me. Like, they're like, you have a fucking broken bone. You can't keep going. Yeah, so I recovered from that.
The right type of guy that graduates when you're in that, you're like, fuck that. I'm just going to keep going until it falls
right,
off.
Right, but I didn't know any better. Yeah. I was whatever. The second time when I'm injured, I'm like, shit, I should have just stayed in the fucking class and just fucking sucked it up. But whatever. I ended up going to the third class. And then making it through Hell Week. And I learned some really valuable lessons in Hell Week. And one of them was, that was really where I really learned about, if you don't want to be here, get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. You're bothering me. Like, when I first got there, I was like, no, man, stay. Come on. Let's fucking do this together. I bonded with people. Well, I'd been there for like 6 or 8 months at that point. You don't want to be here? Get the fuck out. You're slowing me down now. I'm trying to get through this. And this really culminated during Hell Week. And I remember watching one boat crew win everything from Sunday night through Monday. I'm like, what are they doing? Why are the guys that I'm with like fucking quitting and not wanting to put out and not wanting to fucking keep up? And then Monday late afternoon before dinner, we had lost enough people. So they reshuffled boat crews. And I'm like, I want to be in boat crew 3. Those motherfuckers are winning. I want to see who's in there, and I want to be surrounded by winners. And so, you know, you do boat crews by height line. So I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, boat, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'll be number 5 and boat crew 3. If I'm not tall enough, I'll pile some fucking sand under my feet to make sure that I'm the right height. 6, 7, I don't care who else is. And when I got in that boat crew, I was like, there's no superstars here.
No.
Everybody was average as fuck.
They're just working together.
And they just had this unspoken, like, we want to win. And it didn't matter if we were going to the chow hall or we're doing a race. Mm-hmm. Like, if we started in the back of all the boats, by the time we got to the chow hall, we were in the front. Everything we did, we wanted to win. And that was the first time I had really been surrounded by winners, like people who just wanted to fucking win.
Yeah.
We don't care the cost. We don't care the price. And there were times where I certainly felt sorry for myself. Like if my stomach hurts, my legs hurt. Oh my God, I don't want to keep up. But I knew if I slowed down, that I slowed the whole fucking boat crew down. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Like I have to fucking put out. I have to keep up with them. So they brought, like, that was my first experience of like having other people like bring me up to their level. They didn't know they were bringing me up to their level. I was just like, I'm not going to let you.
Yeah, but the reality is if you've gotten some of their psyche, it was probably the exact same for them.
Right. I'm sure everyone in there.
Everybody's thinking
at
the
some
same
point.
Shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So you're like, and we all just sort of meshed together.
But you're like, I can't because of Will is pushing out. So
right. And I was for sure. They knew that I was gimpy as fuck. Like there was no question. I was taking.
They're like, he's broken. If he's doing it, I'm right. If I stop, I'm a little bitch.
Right. I was taking like 1600 milligrams three times.
Yeah,
a day
bro. We chew those up. Ibuprofen. Fucking Skittles,
like,
bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Like every meal.
That's why I don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah. As little as possible.
I'm done. I hit my allotment for my life.
Right. And then in second phase, so I made it through Hell Week, but I had stress fractures from all the gimping around I did. So because I'd made it through a major milestone, they rolled me to the next class because for stress fractures. Second phase, which actually is harder than first phase, in my opinion, it's dive phase. And it's where you know, you do all the underwater, like jujitsu.
That shit stuff. Shit fucks people up.
It's, yeah, and so
I was a weird that for me, that portion of training on our side, I was a sadist. For some reason, I liked it.
Yeah,
that was the one.
Hated it.
Yeah, that was the one thing. I got a weird. I don't know. I got a weird chub off of it
like,
for some
fucking
reason.
Bring it, bitch.
Yeah, I was
you
like,
got
fucking
like some
bring
good
it.
Lungs. I've got micro lungs over here.
Yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. But then I did, and they would come down, and they would do the water jiu-jitsu stuff. And I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, hit me harder. It was weird, dude.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking weirdo.
I was like out of breath before they even finished. I'm like doing this. I'm like, like this. I'm like funky chicken. I'm like, and there he's still fucking tying knots in my shit.
I was fucking. I was like, dude. I was messing with people who would, you know, the safety guy that has the hose. I'd be like, dude, you want to suck off another man's hose? Fuck that, bro. I'm never sucking another man's hose. And I would just like rack on my own guys. But for some reason, that was just like my thing. You know what I mean? Awesome. I was like, I was into it. It's weird.
And then
we're all a little weird.
I know, right? And then a bunch of guys, like five of the seven of us, ended up rolling into the next class.
Wow.
And then about once a year, the second phase instructors will break out the boats that you use during first phase. And because you fucked up and you did stupid course, shit. Yeah. And they're like, we're going to go fucking hammer you. Yeah. And, you know, put your masks on, fucking sea bag half full of sand on your back and fucking carry boats up and down the beaches and run races.
So we're doing this again.
Right. Cool. And so we started off all in different like boat crews again. And then at some point we ended up like the five of us ended up in the same fucking boat crew. We just sort of gravitated back to one another.
Like, let's just.
Yeah. Yeah, like, hey, I know you. Hey, I trust you. Hey, you're, wait, yeah.
we know how to win together.
And then we started fucking winning again.
Yeah.
And so I was like, again, reinforced, like be surrounded by fucking people who want to fucking win.
Yeah.
Like those are the people I want. The only people I want in my life.
Ditch
the people
who
want to
fucking the lesson
win.
There is ditch your loser friends.
Yes. For fuck's sake. Yes. Yes. So, yeah.
Awesome.
And then eventually graduated and went to SEAL Delivery Vehicle Team 2. Where Ray Cash Care, former Navy SEAL, was my sea daddy.
Yeah.
And he taught me a bunch of shit. And I learned how to live on a submarine, which is fucking terrible.
For a large guy like you, that is pretty terrible.
There's way bigger guys that do it. And I'm, yeah.
Ray and Jay seems like submarine SEALs. Seem like good submarines.
Jay was, I don't think, ever on a sub. Ray was, so there's a funny story about Ray. So the SEALs used to work in the dry deck shelter where we launched the SEAL delivery vehicle from. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, a young guy, like it was nighttime, whatever. And we had these inflatable UDT life vests, double pull for, you know, for, I think you can dive them down to 80 feet or so. And we're on the deck of the submarine. We're at like 25, 30 feet of water working outside and Ray's toggle gets pulled. So his CO2 thing gets pulled.
Oh shit.
His fucking thing inflates.
Oh shit.
And it's nighttime.
Oh shit.
And he's like, about to get sucked up to the surface. So he like hooks the cradle where the STV normally is and he pulls his dive knife out and he's stabbing himself in the fucking chest to deflate his life his life jacket. And And I'm in
He's never told me that.
Ask him about it. And so I'm in the like transfer trunk doing like under instruction stuff. And they're like, oh, just put Branham out there. Well, I have like, you know, half air in my life jacket in case I, you know, pass out or something in there. Safety precaution.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they put me in the, they put me on the, in the, on the deck of the submarine at nighttime. First time ever. Like I go out there.
How deep are you?
And it's about 30 feet. And they like, guy hands me a bottle. And all I see is like, it looks like some like techno fucking rave concert thing. All I really see is like red and green chem lights all around. It's just completely overwhelming. And I like go under the glass and then I stick to the fucking ceiling because my life jacket, I'm like, yeah, what the? And they're like, he's a fucking soup sandwich. Like, I don't even know what they were saying about me in there. And they were like, get him back in. He doesn't need, he's never been on deck. Like, yeah. So anyway, I was, yeah, I had some lessons learned.
We all
in
do.
My, yeah. In my youth,
I have my own stories too, as well that are super embarrassing, and that's for your podcast when I go on there. So once you got done, how many different teams were you on?
So I was on the SEAL delivery vehicle team twice. So the first team and the last team I was on were both so in Virginia, and then lastly in Hawaii. And the reason I went back to the SEAL delivery vehicle teams was because they were doing stuff that they wouldn't tell me,
yeah,
or said they couldn't tell me. They're like, you don't have the need to know. Yeah. I'm like, I have a top secret clearance. They're like, you don't have the need to know. You don't have the clearance to know what we're doing.
You're like, I'm gonna fucking know.
I want to know. Yeah. And so I went out there and I saw what they were doing, and it's like the strategic importance of the mission is pretty badass. It is not a sexy mission. There ain't nothing sexy about it. No one joins the fucking SEAL teams to do that.
Dude,
mission,
here's the deal with all of it. When it comes down to this, it all looks really sexy on TV.
All of it.
Okay. When you really do it for real, it ain't that fucking sexy.
No. There's like you have like, this is your career. Like this much of it is sexy. Yeah. Like maybe.
Other than that, 98% of it just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I always find, I love the movies, how these guys are like all snooping through the woods and this and that. And I'm like, have you ever patrolled in the woods on fucking
off
nods?
By the time I get there.
Yeah, like on fucking nods. It's not fucking fun.
No.
It doesn't look that cool.
There's no trails. There's no nothing.
Yeah, right.
Tripping and falling down.
Especially in fucking, you know, you're diving and, you know, with the Mark 25s and you get to a dock or something and you're 15 feet below. And you're trying not to fucking like expand your lungs too much.
You gotta breathe
like
your thing down.
Shit's fucking going all over the place. And you're trying to hold on to the thing and put a sensor on something. You're like, this is a fucking shit show. This
is.
In the movies, it looks so fucking cool. These guys come up and they put it on there and swim away. And
right. And then also like whatever, you're breathing back down. So you like, as you come up and you peak, and
right.
Like, you didn't breathe it down enough and you misjudge your depth. And all of a sudden you're like a fucking buoy on top of the,
what the fuck?
And your buddy's like, and you're pulling,
you're all linked together. It's just the total, like, I wish you could just see what really happens. Cause it's like a total cluster fuck under the water. Oh, it's a miracle that we get anything done. But, nonetheless. So anyways, you stayed operational the whole time, or did you actually have to go be an adult?
I did be an adult a couple times. So I taught sniper school for a while, a little while.
That's right.
Actually, I was teaching sniper school when 9/11 happened. That was interesting. Really on a leadership, because I was not the senior guy. Yeah. I was the senior instructor. The guy who actually ran the school was in California trying to get the course accredited and all that other stuff.
I remember that, yeah.
And
because you guys would send guys to our school.
Yeah.
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 Before that.
Yeah. Actually, the guy who started our course, he went to Marine Corps Sniper School. He went to Army Sniper School. And he did some other, like the FBI Academy or something, which is really Marine Corps Sniper School.
Yeah.
And he took all the stuff that he liked from those courses and put them together and started our course.
Yeah.
And then the West Coast kind of did something similar. They put something together. Like there's some guys on the internet that take credit for starting the West Coast Sniper course, and they have I've heard them take credit for all the kills that Chris Kyle had. They took credit for
That's a kind of thing with the SEALs,
Marcus Luttrell. Like they basically were the reason that he made it out in Operation Red Wings, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
There's a lot of that in the SEAL community.
Apparently.
Like a lot of,
apparently. I miss out on it. I miss out on a lot of it.
Multiple people shooting the same guy. Everybody started something. A lot of movies being had.
Yeah.
Where's your book?
I haven't written it yet. I'm working on it though.
Fuck?
Working on it.
Are you even a SEAL if you don't have a book?
I have a couple in me. You know, it's funny. It's funny that you say that. Like all the shit that I do now are all the things I said I would never do.
Really?
Writing a book will be like fucking number 7 or something. Like number 1, I said I would never join the Navy, and I did that for 26 years. I said I would never be into sales. Well, I have a CBD company, and I do sales for the project.
The MBK, yeah.
I do some other stuff. I said I'd never be one of those people on stage going, rah, 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 what the fuck am I going to say? Well, guess what? There I am. And I'm never going to be one of those life business, whatever the fuck, leadership coaches.
And here you are.
Here I am doing that. Never going to write a book. Well, I've got one. I'm working on one right now. I've got 2 more that I like are in the kind of the back. I'm looking to be on do a TED Talk in a couple weeks.
That's awesome.
Never say never.
Never fucking say never.
Never say never.
Yeah, because you'll eat it for sure. Yeah.
So
My kids have actually called me on that. I'm like, oh, I'm never doing that. And then my daughters are like, Dad, didn't you say we're never going to do that? I'm like, you shut your mouth.
Shut your face, kid.
Shut your face,
you don't know
kid.
What you're talking about.
You're a kid. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm an adult. And they just laugh at me all the time. So, well, that's awesome, dude. Well, congratulations on 26 years.
Thank you, sir.
What made you want to get out?
I didn't want to get out. I didn't want to get out. Like,
really?
I was very comfortable.
You had 4 more years. You could have rolled.
Because I was an E8, you only can stay for 26 years unless you do sort of other thing.
I didn't make it that far. I was a quitter at 12. So.
Yeah. So
I don't know the rules.
So yeah, you can only stay for the based on your rank.
Okay.
Like if I'd have done some like shit job overseas for a year, like I could have stayed an extra year.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So, and I was in denial on getting out. Like I talk about, you know, my transition from the military to civilian life, hardest fucking military mission I've ever been on. Still on it today. Still figuring my shit out. Now I tell guys, like, you're getting ready to get out. At least an out. Like, and people told me this. And I said, fuck you. I got it covered. I'll be fine. I'm like, dude, you start figuring out what you want to do at least a year out. Maybe 2.
At least the first chapter of what you want to do, because it's going to
change. It's going to change. And that's fine. Yeah. And, you know, and the first thing I did when I got out, I started a consulting business. Because my last 3 years in one of my, you know, grown up jobs in the Navy, I was in the N8 shop. So I did all, acquisitions for, before that I was at the headquarters in California. I did, you know, combat uniforms, camouflage patterns. I did winter combat uniforms. I did body armor. I did helmets. I did eye protection. I did headsets, tactical headsets. I did everything that the operator uses, minus the radio and the gun. Mm-hmm. Like I outfitted the operator. And part of that was like, I'm still an operator. I'm going back to a team after this.
Yeah.
I want the best shit out there. Pockets and pouches and all that other shit.
You're very heavily, like the guys that do that, even in our community as well, you pick a guy because you're heavily invested
in it. Yeah, and I worked with guys from MARSOC, from your side, and they actually were smarter about it than what we were. We were looking at the big program. They're like, we like that, we like that, and we like that. That's what we're going to buy.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, that's smarter than what we're doing, but okay. So then I did it again. On, you know, my last 3 years, in addition to that, we have a system in the SEAL teams called the Operational Deficiency Report, ODR. Mm-hmm. And so basically, it doesn't matter if you're the most junior guy or middle or senior guy at a team, if there's an operational deficiency, whether it's equipment, a TTP, tactics, techniques, or procedures, or anything else, that you can write a report. It goes up the chain of command, it gets adjudicated, and then works its way up to WARCOM. And now it's not a requirement, but it's an operational deficiency.
People can read them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we had a bunch at the headquarters level in Hawaii, and no one was doing anything about it. And so I rolled into that shop, and then my new boss rolled in, and he's like, hey, we got all these things. We either need to do something about them or just say that we don't actually need that. And so I'm like, he's like, who wants to, I'm like, I got that one. I'll take that one. Like, I just took a whole bunch of them. And, you know, out of that, I went and found $16 million of other people's money to solve these operational deficiencies. So we created like quantum cascading lasers for certain wavelengths of light that, you know, we would use in emergency situations, underwater communication stuff, inflatable sled technology, drop stitch. You know, basically we wanted to be able to have a backpack that we could throw on a high speed craft. And if the SDV goes down in some place it maybe shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be there. Yeah.
Not international waters. You know, these radar, very hard to detect fast boats could come in, throw this thing in the water, put it under the SDV, inflate it, get it to the surface, and then be able to get out of Dodge and not.
It's actually really smart.
Put a big signature out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were working on a hard one that was, you know, that was pretty well hidden, but also an inflatable one. So just kind of in more extremist stuff. And so I went out and like found people's money, other people's money. And so I was going to turn that into my next gig after I retired. And what I found is most people in that industry, they had already been burned by consultants. And so it was like, I told people I'm a consultant. They're like, fuck you. Go suck it, Trebek. We're not talking to you. We hate consultants. Like they get paid and we get nothing. I'm like, so I had to like, I did all right in some of the stuff, but I was for sure not happy. I'm like, this fucking sucks. And I live on a rock in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So my network is very hard.
Yeah.
To, yeah, yeah. Not the best. And then I was like, you know, struggling with baggage.
Yeah.
And
26 years of garbage.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, maybe some not so awesome relationships right. that I may have been that, a part of.
Yeah.
And
that we collect along the way as well.
Yeah. And so I was drinking myself to sleep at night, fucking glasses of vodka. I'd heard about this molecule called CBD. And actually, Ray gave me my first bottle of CBD.
No shit.
And I was in Virginia going to court, ex-wife for the 800,000th fucking time. Still going to court with her. And I had lunch with Ray because I hadn't really talked to Ray in years. And I'm like, hey, when I finish here, I'm going to go see if I can find some CBD because maybe what you have in Virginia is better than what we have in Hawaii. I have no idea. He's like, oh, if you want CBD, I've got some at the house. We went back to his house. He gave me a bottle. I used it that night. I used it for that 30 days. Maybe I was a little less pissed off. Maybe I wasn't. I don't really know. But what I noticed is when I ran out of that bottle is things that weren't bothering me for a long time started bothering me again. Mm. And so when I kind of did a little more introspective work, I was like, huh, maybe it was the CBD. And so I tried a different brand. I had similar results. And so to kind of like visualize it. So water boils at 212 degrees. I was probably living my life at 210 degrees and I didn't even fucking know it.
Yeah.
And so I went like CBD. It took me from like 210 to 205 to 200 to 195 to 190, maybe 185. I got out of that red zone and I was able to just have better positive self-talk. And then, you know, then I started a CBD company. I'm like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Like this is my new mission and my new purpose. Cause you know, when I got out of the military, I'm like, I lost my purpose, my mission and my team. And I had a fucking badass mission, purpose and team.
Yeah, of course.
And then I'm like, fuck, what do I do now? I'm lost and whatever. So I'm
a shitty consultant that nobody likes.
Right. No one likes fucking consultants. So clearly that's not where I need to go. And so what I was doing for that consulting gig was I was just reverse engineering it. Like I had the contacts. I had the end user. I just needed companies to bring me technology that says, hey, I got this thing. I want to sell it to the government. But maybe it's for the military. Well, let's look at it. And maybe it's not ready for prime time. I can go find millions of dollars in R&D funds to make it ready for prime time. But then I'm like, oh, fuck, CBD, that changed my life. Maybe it can help other veterans, other first responders, other people, period.
Regulate.
Yeah. And so I started drinking less. Again, I didn't realize it. It was just something that just happened after taking CBD, started the company. It's funny. Like I met the girl that basically pulled my man card from me. Like I at Bedros's event 4 years ago in San Diego, because he had like this Q&A sort of hot seat, and she had a CBD company. She was putting CBD into kinesiology tape, like rock tape and things like that.
Oh, I'd heard about that. Yeah.
And all I knew was like CBD girl. So I followed her, kind of stalked her like after the event, and I was like, hey, you're the CBD girl, right? She was like, yeah. I'm like, hey, I want to do CBD also. Like I wanted her to hire me. Maybe she's my new mission, purpose and team and whatever. And she was like, so you want to do A to B, B to B, or B to C? I'm like, I don't know what those letters mean. I want to do C, B, D. And she was like, well, just start your own CBD company. I said, I don't know how to do that. She leaned in and said, you are a Navy SEAL. You can figure it out.
That's what she said.
So I politely asked her for my man card back. And so she gave it back to me.
You are actually right.
don't
forgot
give that
about,
shit up again.
I forgot
ever.
About that.
Yeah. So then I started Naked Warrior Recovery. it's a fucking hard industry to market.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot.
And so I hired Bedros to help me. I've hired Sharon Travatsa as a business coach. And both of them are like, hey, man, why aren't you coaching? Why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you doing these things? Why aren't you doing that?
Because I said, those are the top seven things I'd never fucking do.
Yeah, I said, what the fuck do I do? So anyway, from, you know, coaching with those guys, I'm like, now I speak and now I coach and now I, you know, sell CBD. Now I sell the project. Now I sell a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
talk to me about, so it's actually funny. I've gotten guys that, you know, I obviously coach as well. They come in here and we rip their whole life apart and blackboard their stuff out. A lot of them, especially high performers like ourselves, we cannot downregulate.
No.
Like we're just, even though we're exhausted, our brain is like just goes. Like going, just going, goes. Going, going. So yeah. They don't. So I actually recommended a couple of them, several of them for years. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's out. I'm going.
It's
down.
Done. Like it just, yeah, it works.
It works. And so yeah, thanks for that. So
yeah, let's go. Thank you for sure.
Get naked. Get naked?
Get naked.
Get naked. Talk to me about get naked.
Get naked. So when I talk about getting naked, originally I was afraid to use that sort of tagline because I was like, oh, maybe it's a little too risque. Well, guess what? That's what actually gets people's attention. And that's what you want, the marketing. It was originally about like taking my ego off, taking that armor that I was fucking carrying around, taking off.
The badass Navy SEAL stuff.
It's it's the stop trying to be a fucking badass.
Yeah.
You don't like, no one cares.
No, you didn't.
No one cares.
Yeah.
You're not going to find healing that you need if you keep like keeping people at bay.
Yeah.
So really, you know, we put on armor when we go into combat, when we go into harm's way, because it's what we need to do. It saves our life sometimes.
Or if we're instructing the project.
Or yeah. And, but when we come back, we take our armor off. We just hit the showers, get naked, whatever. And rest and recover, get ready for the next mission. Well, in life, we don't do that. In life, we fucking, you know, we feel like we're attacked. You know, someone might be tapping you on the shoulder like this, and it's not a big deal. If I do that for a week, I'm going to have a bruise. You're going to have a bruise on your arm. If I do that for a month, you're going to have like the fucking soft winter breeze comes by. That's going to hurt your arm.
Yeah.
And so a lot of us have that damage. So we feel like we need to be fucking armored up all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't. We can take our fucking armor off. We can, you know, relax and like trust other people.
Yeah.
Don't trust everyone. Find people that you fucking trust and like take that armor off.
You find the winners, the boat crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That you can like be naked around.
Yeah.
Figuratively. And then it maybe whatever.
Whatever.
However it works out.
It's 2023.
It's cool.
Yeah. It's cool now.
And then, you know, NAKED is also an acronym that I talk about from stage. And the N is for never quit. The A is accept failure. The K is kill mediocrity. The E is expose your fears. And D is do the work. And I actually, you know, even though I came up with the acronym and all that other stuff, I still go back to those things. Like sometimes I focus more on like exposing my fear. Other times I focus on killing mediocrity. Sometimes I'm like, fuck, dude.
It's like a self,
fucking feel like a
self, yeah. Self-check.
That right.
You, yeah.
Or do the work. Like I had a conversation earlier this week. Like, are you fucking willing to do the work? Like, someone was saying that to me, and I was like, fuck. Yes, I think I am. But it's, you know, they're using my own medicine against me.
Do you have, and we've talked about this in the past, but it's because it amazes me, because everybody does. Do you get imposter syndrome?
All the time.
26
All
Navy SEAL.
All the fucking time.
Like, you were an E8.
Yeah. All the fucking time.
And you still like get imposter syndrome about being
like, I got nervous. It's funny. I got nervous. Like at BK Live, I was like fucking like, I was like, I walked up there and I'm like, I fucking own this stage, my fucking stage. No one can fucking take Bedros Koulian can't fucking take it away from me and whatever. And then I'm like giving the same presentation to the guys at the project and I got fucking nervous. Super weird. Right?
It doesn't make
like there was a fucking camera guy right there, and I'm like nervous because the camera guy is fucking taking pictures of me. What the fuck?
Layton's waiting for you to say something.
Yeah, right? You know what I mean? but all of my clients, they all have imposter. I'm like, you know what? Who doesn't have imposter syndrome?
Imposters.
Imposters.
They believe their own bullshit so much.
And they're like, holy shit. Like, I just fucking, like, yeah. No one. Once I realized that, I'm like, oh, so it's okay to have imposter syndrome.
This is normal.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. Just don't let it own you.
Right.
Yeah. Do the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it in spite of.
Yeah.
In spite of fear. I think that's not only imposter, but fear alone. Like, you're going to be afraid.
Yeah.
Like, talking about even combat. Like, you're not afraid in combat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit starts blowing up around you. You're like,
fuck.
This is not cool anymore.
Yeah. Guess what? You trained. You do the work anyway.
Yeah.
Show up regardless.
Keep moving forward.
Yeah, and that's and any performer out there is, I'm just like, guys, and the problem, what sucks is when they get imposter syndrome, so they don't do it.
Yeah.
They don't make the call. They don't start the business. They don't make the video. Yeah. They don't write the book. They don't do whatever the thing is that's calling them to do.
Yeah.
Because like, nah, you know, who am I? You're a fucking 26-year
yeah.
former Navy SEAL. That's who you the fuck you
yeah.
are. And you're like, yeah, but.
Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah. Oh, but they told us not to advertise the nature of our work. Oh, they took, like,
yeah.
all that shit just, like, swirls around. It took me a long time to even.
Our community is real bad.
To say anything.
Our community is so bad. So bad. You step out of line. You step out in the light just a little bit. Who the fuck do you think? Silent professional, motherfucker.
Yeah, you don't pay my bills anymore, so yeah. You can't say that to me anymore.
And the thing that I had, and I did that. I still got burned anyway, and that's when it hit me. I was like, wait a minute. I did all the right things the way that they told me, and I still got fucked. So.
Let's do my own thing.
I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
Guess what?
I have watched you do that, and I'm like, it's fucking inspiring. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Because it's no matter what, they're going to, like, we know they're going to talk shit regardless.
Right. Talk as much shit as you want. Yeah, I don't care. You know what? I'm going to go cash some checks while you're talking shit.
I'm going to cash checks and I'm going to go home and bang my wife and serve my community. And you can keep feeling sorry for yourself. Anyways. So yeah, no more imposter syndrome. Just fucking go do the thing, live your life. But my analogy was like, you would never tell a doctor or a lawyer that you do this time, you do this amount of time. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go to this other clinic or this new profession
or professional athlete,
whatever. And say, you cannot talk about what you did. What? That's all you got, bro.
Yeah.
Like, if you were in the military and you were in special operations, especially with us that got in young
yep.
and then got out when we're older.
Older, yes.
You know what I mean?
Congratulations. There's a gap in my resume.
Yeah.
26-year gap.
What were you doing?
I can't tell you.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you just don't do that. But this community, this thought that like you have to be this silent professional, and you can do it. There's good and bad ways to do it. But dude, you own that shit. You went to Buds.
Yeah.
You got a fucking trident.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of people in the United States that have a fucking trident on their chest?
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Get not fucking bit, assholes.
0.00
Fuck it. It's a lot of zeros. A lot of zeros after that point, right? Like, and that's the biggest thing for me is like. You didn't do it. And the only person's hating on it is other people wearing the same fucking thing.
Yep.
Like, dude.
And they do it while they're in, but when they get out, they're like, oh, maybe.
Shit.
I did it when I was in. I'm guilty.
Oh, I'm guilty.
I'm guilty.
So am I.
But whatever. But I've learned.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know until you get out and you're like, oh, shit. This entire adult life of mine is all I have
yep.
to go make.
A whole new life. Yeah.
Now, obviously, I started with like the guns and the training and the typical like,
sure.
So I was like, I guess this is what we do now.
This is cool.
This is
pivot.
This is cool. And then thank God my wife was like watching me one day on the range teaching people. She's like, do you like this?
No, people are idiots.
No, I'm like, no, I don't. I don't like this. I'm fucking miserable. She goes, you look really miserable. She's like, maybe we should do something else. And you know, through doing and starting businesses, of course, I found my own way. But God, that was miserable.
But that's a process. That's a whole process into its own.
Yes, it is. And you know what? It was good that I did do that because it, you know, you learn from failing. You learn from doing the things that you're not good.
Yep.
You know, and. Like, okay, well, I know what not to do now. And then you find you know, through that journey, you go like, oh, I'm really fucking like this.
And I think that's the super important thing that you said. It's like, you just go and you fucking fail.
Yeah.
You can't be afraid of failure.
You're never going to
do it.
Yeah. You're never going to find it sitting still, are you? No. You got to walk the yellow brick road to find the adventure.
Yeah, you know? Have, like, failure, like, that's just part of the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to be okay failing a lot.
I think a lot of our own guys, too, are guys, at least in the military, first responder, like, we're programmed so much that failure is final. Like, failure is, like, you're not allowed to fail.
When really it's just feedback.
Exactly. It's a tuition payment.
Yeah.
And that was something the same with me. Like, I would, like, where my failure would, like, crush me.
Well, that's also part of that imposter syndrome. Then you're like, well, I'm so-and-so. I fucking did these things.
And I failed.
Like, I failed at, like, the simple fucking task.
Oh, dude, I've, like...
over and over.
Marriage failed. Business failed. Finances failed. Bankruptcy. All of it. Like,
I don't have bankruptcy, but I got all those failures. Maybe I'm just shy of bankruptcy.
I've got the fucking lot, bro. I've got it all. And that's the thing is once you start doing that, you're like, well, now once... And you really lean into it all, it becomes compounding interest.
Yeah.
So, like, now you're starting... Like, oh, when you do something... You know, before I started Johnny Slicks with Johnny, I had already had all of those failures.
Right.
So he shows up, we partner, and I'm like, this is what we're going to do.
Just trust me.
Yeah. And he was like, got it.
I don't need to be the boss of anything.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Got it. And then look what happens.
Yeah.
Right. But if I would have done that when I got out, it would have been a fucking colossal shit show.
Right. And if someone had been like, Nick, just do this. You're like, fuck you. I know what the fuck I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Mind your own fucking business. Yeah.
But because of all those tuition payments, the learning curve is smaller and you're like, you know what not to do.
Yeah.
So you know, you might not know what to do.
Yes.
But you know what not to do.
Thomas Edison, more than 10,000 ways to not create the incandescent light bulb.
Right. I remember you talking about in your speech. Yeah. Like, that's a valuable lesson.
Right.
Yeah. So, oh boy, here we go. So I'm gonna play you something. Are you ready?
Can't wait. Can't wait to hear this one.
It's really good. It's really good. This is gonna change people's lives. I just gotta find your face. Here it is.
What the fuck are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you a disappointment? I wanna know. Stop wasting my fucking time or quit. Did you hear me today when I talked about expose your goddamn fear? Expose that shit. It doesn't do anything any fucking good in your fucking head or in your heart. Put that shit out in the world. You think that I haven't dealt with fucking trauma? You think that Steve hasn't or Nick or Bezos or any of us that are fucking out?
I mean, you're just, why are you yelling at everybody all the time? Here, now.
Back.
Look how quiet and calm I am. Like bipolar or something.
I love it, but they said that you are the meanest. Your meanest instructor. Look at this. They're just having a good time. Is that just Mario
surfing? Yeah.
That was my class.
That's Mario.
That's my class. Just surfers in the background. I love it.
What did you think of old instructor Will when you were at the project? You were like, he's an asshole,
dude. So
did you get like flashback, like post traumatic stress when he walked in the door?
When he walked in the door?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's just a giant teddy bear.
He is a giant teddy bear.
No, the thing is too is like. We always talk about it. You guys are completely different off camera, not off camera. You guys are the same. You guys have the same fire in you, like always. And you guys will instill the same lessons in everybody, no matter how you put out.
Right.
But yeah, it's different not seeing them in black shirts and then, you know, now. So it's a little different.
It's a hat you wear.
Yeah.
For a purpose.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
But that first video, so interesting thing about the project, and I talked to Mario about this after, and is
throw up some comments.
I can't wait to hear the comments. But as instructors, and I'm sure you can back me up on this, we see things in guys that they don't see in themselves. Like that young man right there, and I know that he's done some more work.
Yes.
We could tell that he wasn't telling the truth.
Right.
He's like, he's burying shit. He's like, using your words, emotionally constipated.
Yeah.
And I could fucking see it was plain as day. And I'm like, fuck, just fucking trust us. Trust the fucking process.
But as men, we are so incredibly, incredibly stubborn.
Yes. No doubt.
And I don't think people really understand how stubborn we are, or how stubborn, and even the guys that are hating, how incredibly stubborn they are.
Sure.
To where, like, if you really wanted to, like, unpack some trauma and unpack some bullshit, bro, the reality is all of us needed to get it beaten out of us.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes sitting on the couch fucking playing the violin ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
Like, we're too smart for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, why did you go? I think we talked about it on your podcast, but why did you go through?
So I definitely had some things to unpack. I mean, I had a lot of imposter syndrome, which I think you guys talked about to me at the project. And it was like, I remember you guys saying, I remember who it was, but one of you two said, dude, there's so much potential in you. And I don't know.
I'm taking credit for that.
So I remember getting said that, and I was sitting in the van waiting for FTX, and I was just like, I don't remember if we had hoods on or not, but I was just like, I just got pissed because I was like, fuck. And everyone was like, what? I was like, dude, everyone fucking says that shit, and it's starting to piss me off. But the thing is too, is like, yeah, there's so much more inside of me that I wasn't letting out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm still working on it too. Like, I think, I mean, you probably see it sometimes too. But there's a lot of the trauma from my shooting and stuff like that too, yeah. That I kept inside. Cause I mean, a lot of it is the same thing in the military. It's like, oh, well, something happens, just fucking suck it up. And I remember them saying that to me. They were pretty much saying that to me. They were saying, you know, if you want to take more time off, you have to get anxiety medication and all this other shit, or just suck it up and come back. Like, every time I would see somebody at the precinct, oh, when you coming back, Buttercup? Like, okay, fuck off. How about that? I just got shot like 3 months ago. So, yeah, it's a lot of unpacking trauma, a lot of potential that I didn't see in myself.
And just breaking that barrier of, like,
yeah, there's a ceiling. Yeah. There was a ceiling I was hitting just constantly.
But and what's crazy is, like, and like, we saw it with 8-Ball.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, wasn't that a beautiful moment? What people don't realize is, like, that video got a lot of hate, but that was the moment that he said, fuck it.
Yep.
And he just let it all out, dude. And he was able to be his true self without any fucking burden, without any bullshit, you know. Anyway, so why are you an asshole at the project?
I don't know. I didn't know I was. I didn't know I was an asshole until I got that feedback. It was funny. Like, they kind of rank us at the end, and they're like, okay, so biggest asshole. But what did the guy say? And I forgot his name.
Yeah, You're always up at the top.
Asshole, but also what he said. But also like an angel. And I was like, I'll take it.
I'll take that.
I don't know what that means, but okay. And you know, it's funny when I'm like on some of these sales calls for the project, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to be your friend there. I will be tough love. And I've had feedback where, you know, guys are like, yeah, you think Steve is the mean one. But you'd see Steve mean the whole time, and me, I'm just
Steve's
like,
Steve's so consistent.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're going to get with Steve.
Yeah.
And yeah, when I walk up, you don't really know what you're going to get. It just depends on the situation. Like, are you fucking up?
How are you acting?
are you fucking up? Well, I'm going to deliver. And if you're like, maybe I just want to get to know you.
So I want to talk about this, because one of the biggest things is like, oh, these guys are paying this kind of money to do this sort of thing. And why don't they just join the military? Well, was it you that brought this up? Somebody brought it up, a great, great comment. And I was like, damn, that's actually good. So it's not the same thing, because when you leave the military.
Not at all.
No, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But specifically with trauma. When you leave the military, you leave the military with trauma.
Yes.
When you leave the project, with dealing with your trauma.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's the difference.
And so here's another thing that I tell people, and I don't think I've ever shared this with you guys, but when we're doing, I still got shit that I deal with, but I get probably as much out of the project as the guys going through the project.
Same.
Like, when we're doing like Hunt and Destroy or whatever that thing is.
Toxic Cognitions. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm fucking writing shit down, writing my own stuff down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through it right there with the guys.
That's what people don't really see. But the reality is could you imagine doing Hunt and Destroy like hour three?
No. They would laugh at you. What are we doing here? What is this?
What is this? Yeah. This is fucking kumbaya bullshit.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
What would you have done at hour three if you're like, okay, we're gonna talk about the hardest thing that ever happened to you?
I would have been like, I would have been looking around like, what the fuck are we doing?
What the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
But at that point, you were like, I don't even give a shit anymore.
Yeah. And but the thing is too is that it opens you up even more afterwards. Like you're more open to talking about it regardless of who it is
because you don't have that weight.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't give a fuck what people think.
Because and then you see people going through different traumas in their life, and then you're like, okay, well, listen, man, you have to just talk about it at some point, because it might not be now, might not be tomorrow, but you're going to have to talk about it at some point. So that, I mean,
you can hold it in and you can fucking explode one day.
I didn't know the statistics on this, but B told me, he said one in three men are physically abused growing up, and then one in four men are sexually abused. And I was like, dude, that's fucking crazy.
That's crazy.
I was like, there's no way. And I want to say, I don't think I counted this last class, but I remember counting when he told me that. I was like, I'm going to pay attention to this. So Joe's class, 16, I was like, I'm going to count. And so we sat around the table, including the instructors. So I was like, I'm going to count every man in this room. One in three physically, one in four sexually. Sure shit, dude. On the fucking money, bro.
That's crazy.
On the fucking money.
I heard Beto say something about that one time, and I was like, that can't be right.
Fucking 100.
But I have started paying attention.
If you start paying attention, you start talking about what's happened to people, and you start going, okay.
Men don't talk about that.
Hell no.
No fucking way.
And I think when you break all those, when they haven't eaten, they're just broke the fuck off, right? And then you got guys like us sitting across the table going, this is what happened to me. This is what happened to B. This is what, you know what I mean? You like let it all out. They go, oh, fuck. Their walls are down. And they go, yes, this happened to me when I was a kid. And I think now that I'm talking about it, holy shit, that might be something that's causing me a lot of fucking friction in my life.
Yeah.
Boom.
And it's so that sound clip that you just played there, that was the next day.
Yeah. And we're still holding on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what people don't really understand is like, oh, you just see a snapshot of somebody, Will being an asshole yelling at people and kicking sand. Somebody was like, you kick sand in my face, I'm going to get up and we're going to have a problem. I'm like, okay, sure.
You say so.
How's that? How comes that's never happened? It's never happened. Mm. Never happened.
Someone did get hit though.
Someone did get hit with
not an instructor though.
With a cake.
Yes.
Will's happy birthday.
It wasn't cake. Me. I didn't kick anyone out there.
That clip.
I'm sure.
No, it wasn't you.
It was your birthday cake though.
It was your birthday
cake. Oh, dude. That
was a great clip that we can never share.
I don't
share.
Think that will be on the
That
on the
will
internet.
Never that will never be shared.
I'm
Somebody called somebody else out. He got hit. He got pied in the face. It was like a fucking cartoon, dude.
It was dude. I'm so sorry I missed it. Like I
You missed
I
it?
Like, I saw he sent me the video.
Oh, but
and I like I yeah, and it was my fucking birthday cake. What the
it
fuck?
It was beautiful, bro. The sound, that sound of the cake hitting the face. I was like, dude, this is like movie magic right here.
He probably still has cake in his ear today.
But it is a beautiful thing, man, because you see men that are emotionally constipated. You see them stuck. You see them docile. You see them inability to make stand up to aggressors. You, and that's what the beautiful thing is we want, like, maybe I'm giving too much away, but like, we want you to fucking push back.
Yeah.
We want you to fight back.
Yeah.
That's the whole fucking point. If I hope one day that...
To fight back at the right time.
At the right time.
At the right time. If you fight back at the wrong time, you're going to fucking lose. Yeah, Mario, your class, you guys got it wrong 100%.
100% of the time. All the way to the end.
So
you tried to stop him.
So when he was like, oh, let's go talk to him about his shoes. Talk about Steve's shoes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not going to fill everybody in on it. You guys can watch the stories and see, look at his shoes now. I'm like running over there. I'm like, I think it was Lou. Because I think Lou was class leader at the time.
Was he?
Yeah.
Flowers?
Yeah, Flowers was class leader at the time. And we were running over there. I'm like, bro, we are about to get fucked. I was like, you guys know that, right?
And
I was like, and then we just, Trey's trying to grab a bag. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try to grab a bag too. Steve's trying to put me in a chokehold.
You guys are trying to do fucking logic on us. Like, you're fucking.
No. So, yeah. Scott, I think it was Scott and Trey were trying to, like, I just want to know. I just wanted, I'm like, and I'm just sitting there just staring at him. I'm just like blank minded. I'm like, it's anytime Steve's about to fuck us up right now.
He's, I just he's saw just that video clip the other day.
And I was boiling
like,
up.
Oh my God. That was hysterical.
Anyway.
Like it blew up and I was like, I'm not even sure what's going on here. This got way out of hand real fast.
But my goal, so I, you know, when I talk to Chris, my goal is always to figure out how to get the candidates to kind of bind together.
Yeah.
And just fucking like, now it's our project.
Yeah.
You got, we don't work for you guys anymore.
I feel like this last class did that pretty well.
They got real close towards the end.
I dropped some. I'm like, listen, you need to learn when to, like, I gave them a little hint along the way. Yeah. Like, I want them to fucking succeed.
Yeah.
I want them to get the most benefit, mostly after watching that class fail miserably.
Like, oh, his class?
Like,
most stupidest class ever.
Come on, guys.
That's
Come
why on. Mario graduated on
undergrad. Yeah, I know. There's like the best of the worst. Whatever.
No,
oh, thanks for adding to my imposter syndrome, fuckers.
Project trauma. But the thing is like what people don't really realize, and because they're just in the comments. Mario, how much fun was that?
Dude, I would honestly do that again.
Joe, you know, Joe's trying to go back through.
There should be a thing for the project grads.
That's what he said. He said we should have all the project grads go do something like a separate thing that's even harder.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I've talked to a bunch of guys that are just like, they go back and they're like, that fucking pit owned me. I'm going back and I'm fucking owning the pit. And they're on their own fucking time.
I'm going to go crawl the pit.
They'll crawl the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, you, good for you. You
got. But like, that's what, I mean, tell people like how much actual fun that you had.
So, man, now that it's over and you're done, you want to go back. I mean,
it's
weird, right? I can't tell you on a scale of 1 to 10 of how fun it was. I mean, I would say it was a 10 now that you look back at it. Because you get done, you get through all this stuff, you fucking talk about your traumas, you build a brotherhood with people, and then you go back and you watch all the Instagram stories that your wife fucking records on her phone, and then you watch them, you watch them up on your 65-inch TV, and you're like, you just crack up. Like the one where we're playing in the sand, everyone's getting covered, fucking, you know. And I think it was you. You're like, why don't you guys fucking help each other? Or like you. And then I like pushed sand on Lou and it got all on his face. And I was dying. But just like shit, funny shit like that. It's just, it's so much fun, man.
And that's what it's one of the things that I tell guys when we're at the beach, like when when they escape you for a little bit, you know, like
I send them away for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, get away from Will for a second. I tell them like, guys, you realize that my son watches this and then we come to the beach and he reenacts this. He's a 3-year-old. He thinks this is fun. Like kids bury themselves in sand, they sugar cooking themselves, they run to the water, they run back, they dig holes. They think this is fun, but because there's an instructor candidate relationship, mentally you decide that,
check out. Yeah.
Oh, this is hard. Right. I'm being punished. Instead of going, but we're grown ass men. First of all, we're grown ass men playing in the surf in the sand.
Yeah.
Like fucking children. You know what I mean?
For ATK.
For ATK. Anyways,
yeah,
that's a big hurdle that I have to sell people on. But what they don't see
hold on, would you do it again? Would you pay the money?
I would pay $1 million for that.
See,
yeah, it's like the value that you get out. It's very hard to, like I said, I get probably as much value out of it as the guys going through it.
Yeah,
because I'm there to learn, but I'm also there to give as well.
And what they don't know is like. And for I'm going to speak personally because I know Will doesn't feel this way because he's an asshole. But I like when I show up, I really truly want everybody to graduate.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, if you just.
When I get on the phone with guys, I'm like, listen, we don't do salespeople anymore. I'm not a fucking sales guy. I'm one of the instructors. I want to make sure that we have the fucking right candidates.
Yeah.
If you're not the right person, I'm going to tell you you're not the right fucking person.
But when they show up, I'm like. I want you to graduate. I want you to get out of your own way. I want you to flip the switch. I want you to break through some barriers, and I want you to fucking graduate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it breaks my heart to watch people just quit on themselves when they go.
There were some guys this last.
I know, and I'm like, dude, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, don't fucking do it.
Yep.
Don't do it. Just don't fucking do it.
Yep. Yeah, the guy that he told his story, he was sitting in the back of the class. He was the bigger guy.
Yeah. John.
John? Yeah. You probably talked to him. Yeah.
I got his video.
Dude, when he was telling his story, I started to tear up. I looked over and Joe was crying too. Cause the thing is too, like a lot of people fucking never fucking get it, man. I don't like seeing people quit on themselves, and I even like when they were out there by themselves, I kind of snuck because, you know, we're not supposed to talk as cadres to them. So I like snuck back and I was like, listen, guys, like nothing in your fucking life has ever come. Anything good in your life has never come without anxiety, depression, fucking
hard,
difficult times.
Yep. Yeah.
And going through hard shit. So fucking stick it out.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And when he was done, I was like, fuck.
It broke me, bro.
Dude, I know.
It broke me.
I didn't hear the story. But he told me the story later, yeah. And I was like, fuck. Like, when he quit, I was like, here's my number. Give me your number right now. Fucking reply to me when you get back to your room.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? The transformation that he had, even though he was like there for 13 hours, like I think you saw the video. Mm-hmm. He was communicating with you as well. Yeah. So it was like fucking, like, heartfelt for sure. It was super impactful.
Yeah.
And
you know what? And what I told one guy when he rang the bell, I said, listen, you know, you found your threshold of what you can handle. It's a gift because now you know right where your threshold is and you need to surpass that.
Yep.
You need to move that. You need to move that threshold where you're like, I mentally, physically can't handle this anymore. Now that's your level.
Yep.
Now you need to like go past that level.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you see the video?
We're praying on weak-minded men.
Yeah.
Yes, 100% praying on them.
This will create unstable men. Terrible program.
Really?
That was a YouTube comment.
I haven't read the comments for a while.
That was a YouTube comment.
On mine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. This will create unstable men?
Unstable men. Terrible program.
You mean men?
Yeah. I think that's where, and people are like, why don't you just join the military? Well, one, you leave the military with trauma. You leave the project better. So that's there's a difference there.
Yeah, whoever said that.
And we have people who've been through the military.
Yeah, it was fucking Joe was with the 75th Ranger Regiment.
We have Chris, who's now an instructor, who was Air Force Special Operations,
doing all kinds of.
Yeah, he's yeah.
If you didn't know the Air Force actually did some shit. Well, they do.
They do.
There's one.
What,
there's one guy.
Exactly know what
there's,
they do.
There's one. There's one guy that did some shit at least. He's fucking cool, man. Chris, I love you. You're badass. Stop finding all my shit on the internet, please. It's fucking weird. It creeps me out, man. What else? Oh, the other thing was with the whole, like, these guys, like, well, just join the military. Well, maybe they don't want to join the military.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. They just want to experience. They want to test themselves. Like, there's nothing wrong with a man going, you know what? I've had an easy life. I didn't join the military. I didn't go to war. And I want to see if I have what it takes to push my own limits.
Yeah, that was another reason I did it too.
Well, I think we all need to.
You got shot. I feel like your limit was tested, but cool, good on you, bro.
I think we all, men.
Yes.
Need to be tested more than a little bit.
More than once.
More, yeah.
As we go
like
through
life. I continue, like I've done some pretty hard stuff just this year. I've hiked the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim twice this year. A lot of people, it's their fucking bucket list. Like, they hope to do that before they die. The first time I did it, top five hardest things I've ever done in my life. By a lot.
That's crazy. I've had some experiences post-service that I've said the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I keep moving the needle, man.
Yeah. And that's what makes us better. Like,
you don't
creating you, artificial hardship
at,
in
at
your
50
life.
Years old. You don't want to be the guy. Well, back in the day,
fuck that.
Remember dude, when?
I'm gonna fucking go crush your ass, your 22 year old fucking ass right now. How's that?
And you can do it too.
I do my best. I'm certainly like I might come up short, but I'm gonna fucking go down swinging.
The recovery time is a little bit
longer for me than for them. Yeah,
that's what I noticed. Is like I can still pull some crazy shit out of my ass.
I'm gonna need a nap afterwards.
Though. But that afterwards, oof, even with a little testosterone in my butt, still like damn, I'm gonna need a fucking nap.
Yeah, for sure, at least a nap. Yeah, I just did it again before the last project, and you know, I was probably for the next three nights, I'm like fucking waking up sweaty because my body's in like fucking overdrive, like fucking keep going, keep driving, keep going, get up this fucking, it's like climbing two mountains.
Yeah.
But it keeps me young. Like I'm 50 years old. I don't feel 50.
You look fucking great for 50.
Thank you.
And yeah, you turned 50 at graduation, didn't you?
Yeah.
Last class.
Yeah.
Pretty dope.
And which is why I got a couple birthday cakes.
Thanks, Chris. What is this? First one was flowers. Next one was birthday cakes.
What could the next one be?
What's going to the next one?
I
can't wait. He's going to, like, the problem is he's going to keep escalating. It's going to get harder and harder to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always going to be something that someone has to take care of for the entire remainder of the project.
Of course, or until they leave. And I'm a little disappointed in flowers, actually. If I was him, I would have been sending a bouquet of flowers to Steve.
Oh, my God. That would
every
have been awesome.
Week for a while. Not even an expensive one. Just a little. Here you go. A reminder.
Yeah.
Just love you.
Don't forget about me.
Love you, Inspector Stevie.
Inspector Stevie.
Yeah, that actually was funny, too. The last class kept calling him Inspector.
Inspector.
Kept calling you guys Inspectors.
Yeah, he's a goddamn psycho. Yeah. So you like it?
Yeah.
Why? I know my reasons why. What your personal reasons?
So I like helping people.
Yeah.
I like helping men fucking find their potential. Again, I get as much out of it as
I've said it in here in this room multiple times, man. But it's very rewarding to watch people succeed.
Yeah.
Or to help
them
succeed.
See them like fucking flip the switch. When you see like the light bulb come on, like whatever language you want to use or analogy, like there it is.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Like the guy in the last class, Murray.
I was just about to say Murray.
Dude.
That's like my biggest win of the year, Murray.
He was
the most docile, weak little creature whole time.
I talked to him after. I talked to him last week. And
how's he healing up?
Because I was talking. He's pretty fucked up, but he's doing better. He was actually staying at Coker's house.
Oh, cool.
He was like, hey, I don't have a place to go. Can I stay at your house? So he's like staying at his house for like at least a week or something.
Awesome.
And I guess Murray's been through like several of these men's development programs that are
really
out there. I didn't know that.
Wow.
He told me that on the on the Zoom call because
mm-hmm.
Coker wanted to talk about leadership stuff. And I'm like, hey, basically what I told him is you just got to fucking own it. Like you walk in the room, you fucking own it. Everything you do, you just fucking own it. And
it's another guy. Coker was an infantry Marine.
Yeah,
and he came through.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You guys are fucking. Yeah. Your comments are dumb.
And Murray's like, holy shit, you guys are actually following up and like fucking checking in on us and like talking to us after the thing. I've been through every other fucking men's personal development thing out there. No one has ever fucking followed up or talked to us because I guess earlier that day he talked to Chris Cavallini.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then he's like, I'm talking to Coker and then talking to Murray. And he's like, this is like, who does this? This is no one else does what you're doing. So I was like, awesome. Like,
well, you're not in the project anymore. Like
right.
You're in.
We're like, you're part of the brotherhood.
Yeah.
That secret handshake, whatever.
That's the biggest thing for me is just watching these men who know that they're not living up to their potential, like in a short amount of time. And it really is. And that's the reason why that it looks so drastic. And it is so drastic is because you compress so much time into 75 hours and then you make it happen really fast. And that's when to see those guys at graduation, the way that their brains wired in such a short amount of time, you're like, wow, this is just what a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's
and like
awesome
to watch. Murray to watch him at the FTX.
Oh my God.
I mean, he was the number one dude.
He was,
he went from,
like we're like, I don't know if you need to be here.
Man.
You're probably not going to make it, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean.
And he ended up being one of the number, in that event, the way he finished.
Yeah.
By far, he finished number one.
I mean, the shenanigans out at the ranch with Murray. Oh, my God. And being, yeah.
There's some videos out there.
Speaking
of you and shenanigans. I'm curious, is this the sixth Navy SEAL? Is this the sixth Navy SEAL secret?
That's
the tactical thong.
We'll put that on there.
What? That actually makes me want to go get a real thong and wear it next time.
Like what's happening there, Will?
Secret number six of the get naked mindset is to have a string up your butt. It's kind of like those Muay Thai steel cups where you like wrap the thing and the string goes up your butt crack and it just makes you more pissed off.
And that's why you were fighting with Murray right there.
I was Murray and probably five other dudes that was right there. That was the kettlebell in the ditch, I think.
Yeah. That's like, and, that's one of your favorite,
that was
favorite events. Isn't
that
it?
Was, I do. Yeah. The thong or the kettlebell.
Could you collectively together.
Leighton sent me a video that I'm not going to play. Uh-huh. I'll share it with you later, but it was right before that. And, like, you know, because the young man that particular young man, he didn't graduate. He'll come back through the next time.
Bro, that guy is hard as fuck.
He is.
I didn't realize how hard he was. He's hard as fuck.
But he's very passive.
Yeah.
And so I was working on some of that.
But he's inside. He's tough.
In a not very nice way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
but he's tough on the inside.
Leighton, he's like, I'm like, I have this kettlebell. I'm calling it a name, and I won't let him have it. I'm like, what the fuck are you gonna do about it? And like, he comes over, and I just kind of like big brother, like hand to the forehead, and kind of shove him to the ground. And then he looked kind of pathetic. And then Leighton pans over, and he's like, there was a fucking camel right there, and he's like, the camel's even upset about this.
Those fucking camels.
I was like, who knew there was a camel there?
That place is a weird place, man.
It is a weird place. It's a fucking great place, though.
It is a great place, but it is fucking weird. Like, I'm looking at it's a horse and a zebra together. What is that called?
I have no idea.
Hold on. You mix a horse and a zebra. Fuck.
Zorse.
Is it a
zorse?
Hebra.
Is that right? Is that actually the thing? Is that actually the term?
That's what it is. It's a zorse. There's a zorse there.
I've seen it.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a zorse.
It's like the front zebra, Marlo, back horse.
Weird.
Maybe that's why it's a zorse.
I don't know. I didn't know a zebra can, like, a zebra and a horse could have babies.
They have
zebra.
Similar DNA.
It comes out with like a retarded. I think it's like how, I thought that's how like donkeys were made. I don't know. I'm not a farm guy. Anyways, Will, what the fuck you got going on now?
Let's see. I got a TED Talk coming up in November. Mm-hmm. Just coaching, speaking.
If people want to sign up for the project, they just call you, right?
Yeah, just call me. Just sign up. I'm not going to give you my phone number. I'll give you my number when you sign up, and then you can get a hold of me.
It's 867-5309. 1-800 Navy SEAL.
If that was only my number. So that's mostly what I got going on. Naked Warrior Recovery, you know.
What's the website?
Still growing that. NW-recovery.com or Naked Warrior Recovery, all one word. That was my original website, was Naked Warrior Recovery. But then I was like, maybe people don't want to write naked in their search engine. So I made it NW-recovery.
Yeah.
For people listening to this, if they, you know, I've got mostly CBD products, but I have some super greens that I don't think I've.
No, you didn't tell
me
that.
I'll send some your way.
Yeah.
And an immune product called Body Armor. Both don't have CBD. So if you don't want CBD,
got some nighttime stuff.
I've got some nighttime stuff that, you know, you're not going to pass a drug test when you take it, but it's like it. That's what I use. And
it's legal.
It is 100% legal. It's hemp derived. It's not the synthetic Delta 8 thing that's out there in the world. It's like the real stuff from the plant. 2,000 years of science behind it.
Talk about that, because that's actually really important, and I dig that.
So I have a product. It has it's a gummy. It has 25 milligrams of CBD and 5 milligrams of Delta 9 THC from the plant. So Delta 8 was a sort of a loophole that a lot of companies were using, and what Delta 8 is, it's a isolated CBD molecule that's been synthesized in a lab to have that psychoactive.
It's a chemical
effect. Yeah. So it's been chemically modified to give you the psychoactive effect of whatever. So I wouldn't fuck around with it. I only deal with natural stuff because whatever, I'm going down that road. I'm Navy 50 SEAL fucking years old.
Navy so. SEAL hippie. Every Navy SEAL gets out and turns into a hippie. But that, I mean,
beads. If I had hair, you know, I would, you know, have long hair. And
me too.
And
me
shit like that.
Same for us though as well. Like you just. But I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, getting out of your own way and just being like, hey man, how do I not be in pain?
Yep.
And perform better.
I mean, I'm a child of Nancy Reagan's war on drugs. Just say no. This is drugs. This is your brain. So I fucking grew up with that. It was like
my brother wouldn't eat eggs for years after that. After that, yeah.
And so I was afraid to try CBD for the first time. And then I was afraid to try THC. And then I've tried a couple different other like
that's
THC
a gateway
things.
Drug, man.
And you know, really, what you were saying at the end of the day, like I can. Alcohol was a vice. It was it ended up being more of a habit.
Yeah.
And a fucking terrible habit.
A horrible habit.
And so maybe I've replaced one thing with another, but I fucking take this, you know, at night about an hour before I'm ready to go to bed. And then I'm like, my fucking brain turns off and I can go to sleep and I wake up the next morning. And I'm fucking ready to go.
You're not
to have the same effect with alcohol. I feel like dog shit the whole rest
even,
of the day.
You can't even, and the whole day.
You're and just, my sleep sucks, and my, like, yeah. You know, my resting heart rate, you know, is fucking through the roof, and my HRV is in the tank, and so, and I measure all that stuff, and what I found is, you know, people say that THC negatively affects your sleep, but I think there's a threshold there.
Yeah.
And THC and CBD, they're actually kind of antithesis. They work opposite.
Yeah.
So CBD, THC goes in and it binds to those neuroreceptors in your brain. And which is what gives you that sort of euphoric high effect.
Works for me.
CBD goes in and actually decouples those neuroreceptors and kind of brings you back down off that high. So you could actually take one of these buzzing gummies that I have. And I actually had a buddy take the wrong gummies before he got on a flight. And he was like, fuck.
I think I texted you one time. I was like, hey, what happens if I take these? And you're like, oh, you're going to be down. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad that I texted you.
You're going to be, you don't want to take that before like
I did. I think
rolling.
It was, yeah, I think
or
it
maybe
was,
you do. Maybe you,
yeah, maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
Maybe that's
just so you like let it kick in and then like you can feel like Eddie Bravo's done that.
I think I did. Yeah. All those 10th Planet guys are all high when they're rolling. But I think I did a course. Oh, it was the Origin. I went to Origin. Yeah. So I was rolling like twice a day, like three classes a day, and then rolling two sessions a day. And I got back from that and I was like, I'm fucking broke, dude.
Yeah.
This 41-year-old body is broke off. And that's when I hit you up because I woke up and I was like, dude, I am hurting. I was doing cold plunge, sauna, just trying to get my body to recover after a week of that. And so it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I texted you. And you're like, yeah, you're going to be super, super messed up if you take
that. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah,
morning.
Do this for sleep. Don't. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can. I don't recommend
you're,
it.
You're going to have a very different day. Make sure you have some cereal and some cartoons to go watch.
You're going
to
have some. Your pain will be different. Yeah.
But anyways, but I just do it at night, and it's awesome. Yeah, it really, really is awesome. You got a good product.
Now that we're talking about you know, like that feeling in your chest, you know, like when you take them. I don't know if you get it, but I get like the feeling in my chest, like it's airy. Like when I take.
That's a cop thing.
Yeah, that's your cop DNA coming out.
That's what it is.
It's called paranoia.
I get like that. It's like that weird airy feeling in the chest, and you guys are talking about it. I'm just like thinking about it. I can feel it on my chest right now.
See, you're just getting paranoid.
You know, the only thing I get is I get like a little dry mouth, which just makes me drink more water, and then I'm hydrated. So
there you go. Anyways. All right. So where can they find you?
NW-recovery.com. If you want to learn more about the Navy SEAL mindset, you go to 5SEALSecrets.com, put your information in there, and I'll send you.
Which the sixth one being thongs.
Make sure you have a string going up your butt.
What's on the front, though, is like an ironclad.
Iron steel cup.
Steel cup?
Yeah.
That's fucking dope, dude.
Then you know, when you're fighting fucking project students, then they kick you in the balls. It doesn't
Because they do. Because they do.
When they start to fight back, like they're afraid to fight back in the beginning, and then they.
Before we go, I want to say, because I saw that part. We screenshot it. I sent it in our group text. Bro, you didn't even argue with it. And there's something to be said. We were talking about this off camera.
Yeah.
How if someone's making fun of you and you like put your foot down and
try to defend yourself, you're fucking done.
It's
like my instinct was to like that. What? Like, first off, I was like mad that you like put it in the group. And I'm like, you just got to fucking roll with it. But you want to play with the big boys? You're going to fucking, you got, and so you're like, which Navy SEAL secret is this? And I was like, fuck. what the hell am I even looking at? That does look like a thong. That looks like, what?
Did I? You're questioning yourself. Did I wear a thong?
I didn't know I owned one.
I was actually the one who saw that. I'm like, what is this that Will's wearing? And he was like, dude, yeah. I don't know. And we got a screenshot.
Before I sent it in the group, I had already figured out what
he
it was.
He did. He was like, I think it's his fan page. I was like, okay, that makes sense.
I knew what it was, and I was like, fuck it, I'm sending it anyway.
I would have done exactly the same thing.
But you were like, yep.
Sure did. Actually, I got it from you because you were like, when we went to breakfast, that when they were, you know, digging holes out in the pit. And you were like, you said something about Secret 6 through 10 or something like that. And I was like, well, I'm just going to fucking turn around and use that. That's in Secret 6 through 10. Like, one of those is if you have a string up your ass, it makes you really pissed off and makes you want to fight
more aggressive for the enemy.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's like some Spartan shit. I get it, dude. Yeah. But that's a life lesson. If somebody's picking on you and you push back,
you just got to fucking own it.
Yeah.
Like if I would have been like tried to defend myself, you guys would have eaten me for fucking dinner.
They were all dying.
There was no way I was going to give you that option.
Byron does that to me though. I snap back a little bit. I actually snapped at Joe. Cause I was like, dude, what'd I do now? And he's like, what didn't you do? And I was like, Joe, shut the fuck up. He's like, bro, I'm just saying what you said.
Going along for the ride over here.
So I got on my recon screening for Second Force in 2003. They came on the last stroke of me coming up out of my 500 meter swim. They like Marine Corps times. Right of the cover.
Oh, that's kiss of death right there.
And I this is my screening. And I passed the screening. There's only a couple of us that passed the screening. And the top of the paper. And I've got it hanging up now. I've got it hanging up. And it's like framed. Now I own it. Like I own the thing. It's cool now. But at the time I was like, fuck. And it said, go recon. And it has my face like coming up out
of
the
water. You're the poster child.
Yes. So I show up to RIP. I show up to recon indoctrination platoon. One of the instructors comes out and he's holding the paper.
Oh my God.
And he goes, who the fuck is this? God. And I'm standing next to my guy, Dan New, who made it with me, who actually made it all the way through. He became a recon Marine, then a Raider at MARSOC with me, and finally medically retired out after he ran his body through enough metal. It's just a thing we do, I guess. Some people do. And I meet, they go, who the fuck is this? And I go, that guy.
<That's> Damn.
I fucking boarded right in there because him and I looked so alike. And I was like, fucking that guy. And we got fucking smashed. Went through RIP, went through ARS, got shitted up at ARS. I went to my unit and they found the fucking paper.
Oh, fuck.
Bro, the cover of this was photocopied. And was put on. I couldn't open a locker without it being in there. I couldn't go to the fucking PX with it being taped up on a wall. It only happened that way because if they put it in the team room and I threw a fit.
Oh yeah,
I threw a fit in the team room about it. And these dudes plastered that shit all over the fucking base.
Don't ever show your weakness,
dude. For the rest of my career, I couldn't get away from that fucking thing. So what I did was I fucking said, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna frame it.
Own
it.
Yeah.
And I just fucking hung it up.
Yeah.
And the reality, it's not a big deal. Like, I got my fucking picture taken in the paper. But it was before I had done it.
But you didn't understand it either.
I didn't understand. I didn't understand it. So I should have just been like, yeah, motherfucker, that's me. What are you going to do?
I am the face of the Marine Corps.
Yeah, I am fucking recon now. What are you going to do about it?
Well, they would just beat you up. You'd
be fucking thrash me. Okay, yeah. I'm getting thrashed anyway. It's a 3-month process. You know what I mean? Yep. Whatever. So anyways, I think there's a lesson somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. You just own the thong, own the stupid picture. You know, hopefully you put it up in this video.
I think I'm going to go buy a thong right after this, just because. I'm just going to run around the project.
The next time there's a little whale.
That would actually be more terrifying.
What the fuck?
Like, what the fuck did I sign up for?
Go ask Instructor Will why he's wearing a thong.
Yes!
Dude, holy
Chris, are you listening to this? Oh, yeah. What a beautiful thing.
What's, hey, if I film that, we might get more views than Steve's video.
Oh, shit. The railroad one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, the comments on that are great.
That was hysterical. I had to share that. Like, I could not.
Absolutely. I wanted to get into, I get into the comments like the first 100, but then once it got to like past like 800, I was like, dude, I can't keep up with this shit, dude. There's so many of them versus me. I'm fucked. But he did a good job.
I like getting in there sparring a little bit. I'm like, yeah, I just want men to be fucking better.
Yeah. What's
what does that mean? What does that look like? We'll come fucking find out.
Yeah.
I'm not sharing the secret.
I think you posted it.
Bedros beat it.
No. Somebody posted it on the thing. He said not one person has ever taken him up on his offer.
Oh yeah.
To come through for free. Mm-hmm. And if you graduate, he will donate the $18K to a charity of your choice.
He posted that.
Not one person has taken up on it ever. Pussies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a smoking deal. Like, well, then you won't be a hater anymore. But we'll have to get out of my mom's basement. Fuck. You guys are just going to target me and pick on me. Yeah, we're going to fucking pick on you because
you're, of course.
Because you're a weak man, and mm-hmm. we want you to be strong. We want you to be a fucking badass.
Don't show your weakness like I did. You end up having your stupid
that shit.
You end up having your stupid face pasted
keyboard warrior.
Yeah, posted all over the fucking base like an idiot.
Yeah, but it's funny too. Just real quick too. Like, I think it's funny that you say that because now that I would, if I were to go back and go through it again, I'd be the same way. I'd be like, "What? Okay, what the fuck are you? What are we gonna do about it?
Especially when like you were a spy.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm a spy.
He was a spy.
When?
Because he had
Because I came before. Yeah.
We were like, it was like a day into the pit, and Steve was like, I fucking remember.
It was
this
the
guy.
First day.
It was it was that night though.
Yeah, it was like afternoon.
It was dark already.
Yeah.
And he had shaved his head. Smart move, Mario. And they were like, wait a minute, I fucking recognize you.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're a goddamn spy. Did not help you at all.
Yeah, I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, Will, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Go get the everybody. Go get the five Navy. Where do they get the five Navy
five
SEAL secrets?
SEALSecrets.com. Five SEAL secrets. The number five SEAL secrets. SEAL like Navy SEAL secrets.com.
And it's 1 through 5.
Yeah, 1 through 5.
And Jason Redmond supposedly has 6 through 7 or six,
six or something.
I want to know what the other secret. I keep asking this motherfucker. What are the other secrets? I want to know the top secret one.
That's actually the book secret that I'm writing right now. Is five secrets. Five SEAL secrets of leadership.
Nice, dude. Mm. So you're just going to expand that out a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tim Ferriss has the four. He's a 4-hour guy. I'm like, maybe I can be the five SEALs.
I hate that.
Five SEALs secret guy.
I think it's good, dude. And it's really, they are really good. And you know what's also really good? If you guys go find this gentleman and sign up for his newsletter. He's got fucking banging newsletters. I've already told you that.
In mine?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's got banging newsletters. You should go get his newsletters. You'll learn something every single time. Mm. I don't know if you actually put a lot of thought into those, but
whatever I'm thinking about at the time.
They're really good. They're really good, Will. I get them. I'm like, damn, Will, that was solid, man. That was good.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So go find him. And if you want to sign up for the project, go hit the project and you'll talk to Will.
Talk to me.
Or you could be one of, what's the most recent sign up name?
Let's see. Hold on. I got it right here.
We'll end with that.
Uh-oh.
We got, let's see.
He's going to be the poster child.
Hold on. That one just doesn't say anything. This one. Penis fucking you. Louis Big Boner at gmail.com.
Hell dude, yeah.
I want
Louis I'm gay.
Dude.
And like being screamed at by Mr. Clean looking losers. Must be talking about Steve.
Can you imagine?
He likes Pokemons. He's gay. He likes Pringles. He's married to Pringles. Makes over $500,000 a year.
Dope.
Good
for you, bro.
Sick.
He is. Yeah. Those are some of the
Louis Big Boner at gmail.com. Got you, bro.
Got you.
See you soon.
That fucking that dude. That's so
I'm gonna call him right after this. See if he's ready to sign up.
Guys, if you haven't got it, we don't give a shit. You guys can comment whatever you want and do whatever you want. We really don't care. I just really care about the guys who raise their hand and go, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna be a better father.
Fucking be better.
I'll be better. That's all I care about.
Yep.
You know, anybody 100%. Else, if a lot of people are just talking, there's very few doing the work, and this country needs more people doing the work.
Yep.
And that's the reality other than that. So go follow Will. He's my friend. Go follow my friend. He's your friend now. And go get some of his freaking products, man. They're dope. Not dope.
They're not dope. They're legal. Legal.
They're not
dope. It's not dope.
They're good.
They're just dope.
You've been waiting all day to say that. I know you have.
All right, guys. Share this with a friend. Tag Will. Tag me. Thank you, guys. Peace.
All right.